One, two, three, four.
Happy Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa Hanukkah. That's the only thing you'll ever have to say. Happy Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa Hanukkah. Wishes everyone a jolly holiday. Happy Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa Hanukkah. If you want to spread some universal cheer, say Happy Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa Hanukkah. You know you want to come, because it's Monica.
Christmas come and we won't go home.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 524, Podcasting 10 Years. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa Hanukkah. I'm no mathematician nor theologian, but if my memory is correct, yesterday was Christmas and also the second day of Hanukkah and the first day of Kwanzaa. So it has never been more appropriate to sing our signature song from the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged. Happy Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa Hanukkah. I hope you've all had a wonderful holiday. I'm up in Northern California, standing actually in the barn where Matt Rippey, Reed Martin, and I rehearsed the complete world of Sports Abridged, and also where Reed Martin, Matt Croak, and I reduced the Bible, the Complete Word of God Abridged, as well as the same barn where Reed Martin, D. Ryan, and I rehearsed the Complete Millennium Musical Abridged. It's part of our family house that we've had in my family for decades now, and it's always a great place to retreat to during the holidays. And since we just reached 4 weeks ago, the 10-year anniversary of the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, I just want to take a few minutes now to just thank everybody who's helped been a part of this podcast from the beginning, and of course, you for listening. When we started it, Matt Croak and I thought, hey, this will be a fun idea. And Matt said, you got to be able to keep it going because consistency is the most important thing in a podcast because people want to depend on it week after week. Well, I hope that after 10 years, I've proved that consistency is a virtue that I possess. It started out as a kind of a behind the scenes value-added bonus feature for all of our shows and for all of our live performances, and also as a way to kind of stay current and active with our fans all around the world, even when we're not performing in your part of the world. It seemed a fun way for us to stay in touch and to keep providing you with some at least audio entertainment every week of the year, even if we weren't performing near you. But over the years, it's evolved into something more personal and more, not worthwhile, but more, more personal as a way of sharing not only with you what is going on with the Reduced Shakespeare Company, but the things that are going on not only in my life, but in the lives of many of the RSC performers and backstage folks. I suppose the most personal stuff we've talked about over the years are the people that we have lost. Starting with Matt Croak's wife, Lisa Croak. That was such a devastating blow for Matt and for all of us, and it seemed wrong to pretend it didn't happen or wasn't happening or we weren't dealing with it while we were in the midst of putting together this podcast every week. So talking to Matt about his loss and remembering Lisa and what a fantastic person she was and what a terrific mother she was I think cathartic for all of us, and I hope maybe for you who've experienced loss in your lives. Of course, we lost Reed's father a few years ago in 2011, I think, and we lost my mom just a month after I interviewed her in 2010 for her ballet book. We lost my dad a year and 2 days ago on Christmas Eve 2015. And I thought, well, at least 2016 will be better. I'm not sure 2016 turned out all that much better. So that felt cathartic and important. A kind of a different side of the Reduced Shakespeare Company to share with you as the years went on. One thing that's been great about doing the podcast since 2006 is that we've been able to chronicle the development of almost half of the Reduced Shakespeare Company repertoire. We wrote and premiered a completely Hollywood abridged in 2005, but if you've listened long enough, you remember us talking about the fact that we never really quite cracked completely Hollywood. It took us a very long time and many, many rewrites, probably the most rewrites of any show we've ever done. So by the time we started the podcast in late 2006, we were still working on Completely Hollywood Abridged into 2007. And I had an opportunity recently to go back and listen to some of those podcasts talking about the various changes and cuts and additions that we had made. And it was great. It was served as a terrific reminder to me of how the show developed. And then the Complete World of Sports Abridged was in 2010, and we chronicled that. And in fact, I think there's an early sketch in one of the podcasts that we then later cut. The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged, which came on the heels of sports, and Complete History of Comedy Abridged, and of course also William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged. It's been a wonderful way to have not a post-show talkback, but a sort of a mid-show talkback with our listeners, with you, about how the show's been coming and what we're trying to accomplish with our scripts, and what we're sometimes failing to accomplish with our scripts, and how our shows have evolved over the years. It's also been a wonderful thing for me to have every week for the last 10 years. There have certainly been weeks where I've gone, oh my God, I've got to get another podcast out. But most of the time, I'm excited to put together the week's podcast, because it typically involves a conversation with a very interesting person that we know or that we've met, or it's one of the great, great conversations we have backstage about, they're great to us, and I share them with you in the hopes that they're great for you as well. But there have been times where we're just having a conversation backstage. I went, hang on, I think this will be interesting to more than just the three of us. Let me turn the microphone on and start again. And so even this week will be a shorter podcast than as usual because I'm with my family. But it's still, as I've said before, the podcast is a beast that must be fed even on Boxing Day 2016. We've met so many great folks over the years. Some of them have been old friends that I've been able to reconnect with, and some of them have been new friends that I've met, or particularly people that I've been fans of for many years. But like, I got to meet Weird Al Yankovic. I mean, true, his kid went to the same school in L.A. as my kids went to, but I wasn't just some geek going up to him at an event saying, "Hi, I'm a big fan." I was a geek with a podcast, and I could go up and say, "Hi, I'm a big fan. Would you let me interview you for my podcast, Mr. Weird?" And he couldn't have been more gracious, and is such a wonderful guy. And I urge you to, if you haven't already, listen to that conversation. I got to meet Brian Dennehy. I had met him socially a couple of times because I'm friends with one of his daughters. But again, because I had a podcast, he was willing to sit down and talk with me about the craft of what he does and how he approaches the art of making theater. And particularly his expertise in Eugene O'Neill, It was just wonderful to sit down with him, and he's, you know, between shows on a two-show day of a massive play, he's just so knowledgeable about theater generally and O'Neill specifically. It was really a privilege to sit down with him. J.K. Simmons, the Oscar winner a couple of years back for Whiplash, character actor par excellence, again, a guy I had known a lifetime ago. Doing summer stock in New Hampshire and had recently met again in L.A., but because I had a podcast, I said, would you mind meeting me and talking with a microphone going? And he said, absolutely. We met at a Starbucks, and it was, again, great to talk shop with these folks. Also, any time I could talk to RSE actor Mick Orff, that's just money in the bank. You know, he is just one of those guys you turn on the microphone and he's just got a story to tell and a funny way of telling it. It doesn't even matter if the story's very interesting. He tells it in a really interesting way. You know, and there's certainly been several people that I've interviewed over the years, my wife, D. Ryan, one, being one of them, where they're wonderfully voluble and talkative in real life. And then you put a microphone in front of them, they go, wait, what am I supposed to say? Just talk. That's the beauty of the podcast, is that it's almost exactly like talking. And speaking of talking naturally with a live microphone in front of you, it's been a wonderful experience to get to know on a sort of a professional level the many fine folks at National Public Radio. We first appeared on NPR's All Things Considered with Robert Siegel, the host, in 1994. Every time we had made stops in the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., we would be invited back to NPR. But again, because of the podcast, I was able to develop stronger friendships with folks like Bob Mondello and Scott Simon, Robert Siegel, of course, Nina Totenberg. All these distinguished voices that you hear every day, at least in America, and I've got to become friends and professional colleagues with them through the podcast. I got to meet George Wendt and Tim Kazurinsky from Cheers and Saturday Night Live and the Police Academy movies, and talk shop with them. Oh, just last summer, I got to be a total fanboy and meet Andy Zaltzman, the creator of the Bugle podcast with John Oliver, and chat with him about how he does what he does. It was just fascinating to me, and not only interesting just to hear about how he does what he does, but the fact that you go back in the podcast, you can listen. There are a couple of times where I made him laugh. I made Andy Zaltzman laugh, and that's a pretty nice feeling. And given that our most recent show is William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, it's been such a pleasure and a privilege to meet such distinguished Shakespeareans over the years. Our old friend Peter Holland, professor of Shakespeare at University of Notre Dame, who we met in the mid-90s, again on a television show in England, where we were doing Rap Othello, and he was brought on to be a responsible opposing viewpoint, and he said, I'm sorry, I just love that. And we became good friends and pub buddies, and he's one of the people instrumental in the fact that we were able to bring the workshop production of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, which we started at Shakespeare Napa Valley, to have a second run at the Regis Philbin Studio at the University of Notre Dame. And that's thanks to Peter Holland for helping to make that happen. Of course, our old friends at the Folger Shakespeare Library, Gail Kern Pastor, the previous director, and now Michael Whitmore, the current director. They've been very, very supportive and appreciative of our irreverent and impertinent approach to Shakespeare. Garland Scott has kept us in touch with via social media at the Folger, and of course Janet Griffin, the artistic director, who took such an enormous leap of faith to agree to let us bring William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, there for the world premiere, even before a word of it had been put down on paper. And being able to talk to such wonderful Shakespearean actors like Scott Parkinson, who we talked to recently about his production of Julius Caesar that performed at the was produced at the Writers' Theater in my town of Glencoe, North north of Chicago, talk to him about approaching Shakespeare. And we're going to hear from him in a couple of weeks, because he kept talking about how it's weird how he doesn't just speak the text, he thinks the text in a very special way that I wanted to talk to him more about. Also, my old friend Adrian Scarborough, who talked a couple years ago about performing The Fool with Simon Russell Beale at the National Theater in King Lear. Just their approach is so smart and so fun. Talking to Scott Jackson, the director of the Shakespeare in Prisons project. He's also based at the University of Notre Dame, and talking about with him and director Kate Powers about the great work that they do with Shakespeare in prisons around the United States. Of course, my new good friend Samuel Taylor, one of the co-founders of the Backroom Shakespeare Project, and the author of what I think is like Strunken White's The Elements of Style. It's a tiny, thin book that every single theater person should read. It's called My Life with the Shakespeare Cult. And it's just a hugely irreverent call to arms about how Shakespeare is typically done, how it should be done, and how theater basically, not just Shakespeare, but theater generally, should never, ever, ever, ever be boring. Talking to directors like Aaron Posner about his definitive production of The Tempest, or people like Ken Ludwig, who wrote Lend Me a Tenor, but also How to Teach Your Children Shakespeare, a fantastic, lovely book. Talking to my old friend Cynthia Ryder, who's now the executive director of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and is doing fantastic work there. You know, it's interesting that how all of our paths are continuing to cross in the world of Shakespeare, and how I'm beginning to meet new people like the Q Brothers, who are doing Othello the Remix off Broadway right now, and I was approached out of the blue by their publicists, who said they wanted them to talk to me about on the podcast, to kind of get the word out, which is lovely, which means that there's a recognition that the podcast lives just beyond the immediate fans of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, that there are other folks listening and talking about the work that we do and the discussions we're having, and new friends like Mia Gosling, also known as Good Tickle Brain, and her stick figure Shakespearean comic, and also all of her fabulous Shakespearean related merchandise, which if you didn't get some of her stuff for your loved ones this holiday season, you need to go to goodticklebrain.com and get it for future seasons and future special occasions. I mean, I guess the point is, it's been a wonderful 10 years, and I hope I can continue it for another 10 years. Whether it retains the same shape, the same weekly format, the same, it's just a freebie that goes out to everyone every week, I don't know. I think it will. That's my goal. There have been several opportunities for people have suggested, oh, you could join a podcast network, or you could get sponsors or something, and it's just like, I'm not sure I have the time to deal with any other entities, but also would that make things more corporate, more organized? I'm not sure. I want to keep this as personal and intimate as we can, just between us, the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you, are literally dozens and dozens of listeners. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your favorite podcast moment from the last 10 years via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @AustinTichner. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, podcast enabler Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Scott Bushnell, and I'm so happy that it does. It is genuinely completely random, but Scott is a very, very old friend from the Kennedy Center for these couple of decades, and has been a fantastic friend to the Reduced Shakespeare Company. In fact, he designed our Sportsman logo. So every time we look at it, we think of Scott. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 524, 1570 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Of course, one of my favorite memories from the last 10 years of podcast is also, I think, a sort of a fan favorite of podcast listeners, because I still, 10 years later, still hear the gerund adjective fire trucking said to me with some frequency. And that was because of a conversation I had with my two kids, Daisy and Quincy, way back in the fall of 2006.
Daisy, how would you say it?
Like, if you were in England and you were really hungry, what would you say?
Daddy, I'm fire-trucking hungry.
Daisy, what do you think about hearing that 10 years later?
I feel like that was my prime.
You peaked?
I reached my comedic prime at a very young age.
Daddy, I'm fire-trucking hungry.
That's pretty good. You still got it.
It was more adorable when I did it back then.
Definitely. You reached peak adorability. It's at age...
That is definitely true.
At age six.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.